Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for January 9th, 2015. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with Ben Pruse of the Andersons in Everly, Iowa. In agricultural news, Argentina's government has a message for producers: stop hoarding soybeans. We'll have that in other stories. Also, Todd Gleason looks at the quarterly grains stocks report with U of I ag economist Daryl Good with an eye toward farm bill decisions. And meteorologist Ed Keezer has the latest on South American growing conditions. It's all on the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Let's see how futures settled on this Friday afternoon. Hard red winter March wheat settled at $6.15, down 7 1/4. May at 6.05 1/4, down 7. Soft March wheat settled at 5.63 3/4, down 3 1/4. May at 5.67 3/4, down 4 1/4. March corn, the settlement, $4.15, up 6. May, 4.08 1/4, up 5 1/2. July, 4.14 1/2, up 5. December, 4.21 1/2, up 4 1/4. January soybeans settled at 10.51 1/2, up 6 1/2. March, 10.52 1/4, up 4. May, 10.57 1/2, up 3 3/4. July, 10.62, up 3 1/4. November, 10.19 1/2, up 2 1/2. March soybean meal settled at 349.10, up 190. March soybean oil settled at 33.68, down 8. February live cattle, last trades here, 160.60, down $3. January feeders, 221.45, down 4.17 1/2. And February lean hogs, 78.62 1/2, up 45. And those are the settlements for Friday from the Chicago Board of Trade.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. Busey is proud to reinvest in our communities, one project at a time, with financial guidance and support to volunteers and community leaders. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Lerner's weather highlights, he says drying will occur in a large part of Brazil and central and northern Paraguay during the next 2 weeks, and stress to crops should increase in some areas, with parts of northeastern Brazil seeing serious crop stress. Much of the region, though, still has high levels of soil moisture, and favorable conditions for crops should continue in most areas during the next 10 days. An exception will be northeastern Brazil, though, where soil moisture is already low and significant stress to crops could occur, as little significant rain is expected there. Northern and eastern Minas Gerais and Espírito Santo will see the most stressful conditions for crops. In areas outside of northeastern Brazil, the drying expected during the next 2 weeks should lead to much lower topsoil moisture levels than that of today, and crop stress may increase in some western locations in the second week of the two-week outlook.
Support comes from Country Financial, hosting information sessions for farmers throughout the state of Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates on both the federal crop insurance program and the Farm Bill, as well as how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. More information is at countrycrop.com.
Your You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon, Mike.
Well, I moved about a year ago to Atchison, Dave, but I still love, my heart's still in Lafayette.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep, you know, I have this old script that I just can't part with.
It's at least a year and a half old, we can tell.
Well, it's a little ratty around the edges, but it's still legible, by golly.
That's all right.
Atchison, Kansas, that's correct, Global Commodity Analytics. And today, surprise, surprise, the soybeans and corn showed a little strength going into the close.
Yeah, the you know, we talked about it this morning. The unwinding of the bean-corn spreading continued, and it continued to the point where the corn broke above $4 in the March contract, and that seemed to release the beans and release the wheat, at least in the middle part of the day, from the kind of the vice grip of the selling going on. And so the beans were able to go back positive on the day. The wheat made an effort, not a very good effort, mind you, but made an effort before the end of the day. And then the wheat saw, it looked like to be some mechanical trading or some automated trading selling in the very final minute or two of the market. And so we went down into the weekly lows. And U.S. wheat now is at a six-week low, European Paris milling wheat at a three-week low heading into Monday's numbers.
You bring up Monday's numbers, and that is the big elephant in the room. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, other than what we talked about this morning, you know, you look at the premium in the corn versus the beans, and the bean ratio for new crop November versus the December 15 corn went up to about 2.44 this week, and that was the highest since we had seen since the latter part of November. And so you could say pretty easily that the beans were led higher, the new crop beans led higher by the front end, some of that demand, but I think some of it is pre-report positioning. And so the beans to me look like they're carrying a significant premium compared to the corn. And so when you look at the report, Dave, I think when it goes to ending stocks and the grain stocks numbers, the bar is set pretty low for a friendly report in corn. The bar is set pretty high for a friendly report in beans because of the spreading. And kind of the same thing in the wheat market. We've seen the wheat-corn spread unwind since the last report by over 65 cents a bushel. And that's in the midst of wheat weather in the winter wheat belt, creating some heartache. That's in the midst of the Russian wheat issue, creating some heartache and some rallies in the wheat. But when you look at the net-net of the last month, wheat has lost about 65 cents on the corn market. And so I would say when it comes to the grain stocks and the U.S. ending stocks numbers, the trade is really ready for a bearish wheat number. So the bar, again, would be set pretty low in the wheat complex for a friendly report. So that's kind of how I look at it. And today's recommendations and trading with brokerage clients and hedging was in that kind of format. A lot more bean hedging done in new crop beans versus new crop corn or wheat.
Could we see a bullish surprise in either corn or soybeans?
Well, here's where it goes back to the harvested acres and the yield. You're going to probably need to get a reduced production number in soybeans coupled with big demand increases, and those two are very, very possible based upon what we've seen over the last 30 to 45 days. If we would go below 400 million bushel carryover in the beans by more than 10 or 15 million, in other words, get down around 385 or 380 in carryover, I think that would bring about the cash market and light up the cash market again for the soybeans, maybe light up the meal back as the leadership to the upside. That would help your new crop beans. But I think it's going to take quite a bit for the old crop beans to continue on higher. Even this South American weather that people were talking about today that helped bring the corn back around even more, that's very, very transitional because it could turn wet in a week, and all of a sudden that weather doesn't mean as much.
Let me check your temperature on old crop carry in for the new year. Wasn't it about 96 million bushels? It was a very low number.
Yes, that's right, 92 to 96 million, that's right.
Could it be that that number was still significantly too high, and now that we're far enough down the road, we get that adjustment?
I have a hard time thinking USDA will do that statistically, because what they did essentially in the September stocks report was take the stocks-to-use number from 5.4% and cut that in half to about 2.7%. I would have difficulty thinking they'd move that dial even lower, because that would really mess up their long-term statistics.
Okay, so we have Monday reports. Most people are going to go probably for the crop production right away and see what the status of beans and corn production is. But I got a feeling that if there's a mover, it's going to be in the quarterly grain stock report.
I think that's probably right, and I would also throw out there something we didn't talk about this morning, and that's the world-ending stocks numbers. Mm. We have to take note that the wheat especially, and the corn to a lesser degree, really hasn't seen a lot of short covering since November, mid-November, late November time period, and I think it goes back to the resumption by the negative forces and the negative traders in the market thinking that the world numbers are so surplus inadequate, the U.S. numbers really don't count as much. And you have to acknowledge they do have a lot more validity because of the sharply higher dollar that we've seen in the last month and a half. And I think this brings us to rounding out today's trade. The dollar did give a firm sell signal on the daily chart in my charts, and we saw the dollar, which was up about 1.5% when you and I talked this morning, give back half of its weekly gains this afternoon. And so it's only going to close up about 7 or 8 tenths of a percent on the week. And so we could have a situation where the wheat forms a bottom because the dollars formed a top if the acreage numbers and the world stocks numbers for wheat aren't too burdensome. And I think that's where the solid footing in the market would become. And what I mean by that is maybe we get a sell-off in corn, but that sell-off may not be as substantial as it could be if the wheat's there to catch us under the on the downside.
You mentioned the dollar, and we were on the top side approaching numbers we haven't seen in 5 years or more, and I would have thought that would be a pretty stout benchmark to push through anyway. So does the dollar have it in it in the next quarter to go higher?
I don't think so. I mean, there was a couple comments by the Richmond Federal Reserve President, Lacker, today. He gave a speech, and I downloaded it here before we went on the air. And his speech pretty much acknowledges, because he is a voting member now in 2015 on the Fed, on the FOMC, that they could have to pull back on their interest rate hikes because of the deflationary pressure of the crude oil. And so a lot after Monday's report will ride on the crude oil and the dollar and those macro fundamentals, especially if the report's not far gone bullish or far gone bearish.
Thank you much, Mike.
Have a nice weekend, Dave.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
In agricultural news, governmental officials today say that Argentine growers hoarding soybeans to protect themselves from inflation are hurting both state and farm income in the world's number three exporter of the oilseed. Growers are hanging on to soybeans, which are priced in U.S. dollars, as a hedge against annual inflation estimated by the government at 24%, but seen as much higher by private economists. International shipments of soybeans, Argentina's main cash crop, are taxed at 35%, and currency controls force Argentine exporters to convert dollar income into local pesos. The Buenos Aires Cereals Exchange says that Argentina's soybean and corn crops look in generally good condition. Early planted corn and soybean crops are entering key development stages, with soil moisture levels averaged to good and pest and disease incidence limited in most areas. Argentina has planted about 93.5% of its 50.9 million acres of soybeans projected for the season. some 80.9% of the projected 7.4 million acres of corn has been put into the ground as well. U.S. House Speaker John Boehner says that he remains doubtful that there are enough votes to raise the current 18.4 cents per gallon federal excise tax on gasoline and 24.4 cents per gallon for diesel. There have been suggestions to do just that as a way to raise funds needed for road and bridge building, maintenance, and repair. Today's more efficient vehicles, as well as a recession-induced drop-off in driving, has lowered gas tax revenues to the Federal Highway Trust Fund. The U.S. Agriculture Coalition for Cuba formally rolled out its public launch yesterday in Washington, D.C., with more than 30 major agricultural groups and businesses joining forces. The coalition's goal is to end the 54-year-old embargo and open trade with the island. USDA reports $415.2 million in agricultural exports to Cuba in 2013 and about $300 million reported through the first 11 months of 2014. Senator Jerry Morin, a Republican from Kansas, says his constituents know if something has not worked for 54 years, then something else should be tried. He called on the Treasury Department to change rules now that would make it easier for Cuban buyers to place orders in agricultural products from the United States. Taiwan's government today confirmed a bird flu case at a chicken farm and ordered the culling of all the birds at that farm. The Council of Agriculture said a sample of chicken eggs from the farm on Wednesday tested positive for the H5N2 strain. The council said it would step up sampling of poultry in nearby farms. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Monday, USDA will release the monthly World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate. The report contains a running market year cash price average for corn, soybeans, and wheat. Todd Gleason files this report on how that number relates to the new farm bill and the program decisions farmers and landowners are making this year.
The important number as it pertains to the new farm program is the national average cash price. Now, it's updated each month by USDA and represents the rolling monthly weighted marketing year price paid to farmers for corn, soybean, and wheat. It's an estimate that incorporates actual cash price data collected from grain elevators across the nation, weighted each month by the amount of grain sold, and then rolled into projected sales for the rest of the marketing year. Well, the marketing year runs from September 1st to August 31st for corn and soybeans, and July to June for wheat. The last number in the series is the marketing year average cash price used to figure potential payments under the federal government's new farm programs, ARC and PLC. Well, the agricultural economists at the University of Illinois have done some figuring as it relates to this price and the choice farmers and landowners are making right now between the two programs, ARC, county, and PLC. Roughly speaking, Illinois' Daryl Good says if a farmer believes the national average cash price of corn will be below $3.30 a bushel over the five growing seasons, from now until the 2018 harvest, then they should choose PLC for corn. If the opposite is true, then he says ARC County is likely the better option. The choice is mostly driven by the yearly national average cash price estimated once a month in the WASD report, says Daryl Good.
Yeah, they project that every month, and we don't know what the actual price is until the end of the year, but we have a running projection of that as we go through the year. For the current year, it's $3.50 as a projection, and we've been pretty close to that so far this year. But over a five-year horizon, my feeling is we will average probably well above the $3.30 break-even price that has been calculated as the break-even between ARC County and PLC for Illinois corn producers. And if that's the case, obviously, then that would swing you towards the ARC decision rather than the PLC. I mean, there is room to hedge that bet because my understanding is you can make different decisions on different FSA farms. You don't have to be in the same program for both. So for producers that have multiple FSA farms, there is opportunity to hedge, do a little of both. But I think in general, the ARC county probably is more attractive for corn.
Well, this is a factual statement for most of Illinois and the rest of the primary corn belt. ARC county is also the preferred choice for soybeans, PLC for wheat. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Ben Prues of the Andersons in Everly, Iowa. Good afternoon, Ben.
Afternoon, Dave.
I would suppose, as cold as it's been, there's not a lot of people been knocking on your door.
No. It's been relatively quiet on the home frontier. It had been Tuesday. We had about a 26 below wind chill, so guys aren't real anxious to go out to the bin and get corn out.
Well, they have only a couple of days left and if you're not open tomorrow and Monday is the crop production report, they're not going to do it on Monday. They're going to do it after the report.
Right. Yeah, Monday's going to be a big day here. We're just trying to give people a heads up. Just kind of, you know, it's always interesting to see as this report has gotten closer, people are putting out trade estimates, but there's no real commentary on it. People have their ideas, but they're not really speculating too much. Just this report has had a history of being incredibly volatile, and it's just interesting to see the lack of true speculation on what this report will bring and where commodities are headed.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts with it. Tell me, are producers out in your way in terms of their old crop or new crop marketings about where they have been historically with you over, say, the last 5 years, behind or ahead?
You know, it's actually kind of a unique year. This is definitely a hybrid year, in my opinion. And our guys are essentially cleaned out on soybeans. The money was good last fall, and, you know, we had a lot of beans forward sold coming into last fall. And once we got up to $10 cash out here after harvest, a lot of people sold a lot of beans. The same cannot be said about corn. Guys have a ton of corn in the bin. You know, we're starting to, we just touched $4 cash just a handful of times here, and people still have, I'm going to say, probably somewhere between 65 to 85% of their corn crop left.
And do you think that will be a surprise when we see the quarterly grain stocks report to traders?
You know, no. I think, you know, we've seen a ton of fun activity come into the commodity space as of late here. And, you know, I think here's what my concern is in the back, on the back burner, people are concerned about, yes, the fun space, we got to buy some more acres, the whole nine yards. But at the end of the day, I think people know that we have a lot of grain. And it'll be interesting to see, this report's take on that, and I'm glad I could stop being anxious about it and just have it come here and do what it's going to do, quite honestly.
Why don't we go ahead and get your prices today then, please?
Yeah, we are 372 cash corn, 997 cash beans.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Ben Prues of the Andersons. And he is over in Everly, Iowa. Have you had a chance to try this website yet? WILLAG.org. It is new and improved and much easier to navigate and much easier to see what you want to see. Give us a try at WILLAG.org. It's National Apricot Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1788, Connecticut became the fifth state in the Union. The tiny state suffered under the Articles of Confederation. Faced with heavy import duties to New York, Connecticut found it difficult to rebuild its economy after the war. In 1843, William Headley died, an English coal mine manager. He was a pioneer in the building and design of steam locomotives that featured simple friction between wheels and rails instead of geared track. He patented his idea on March 13th of 1813, and later that year, his locomotive, Puffing Billy, began to pull coal on a five-mile line. The engine remained in service till 1864. In 1858, Elizabeth Gertrude Knight Britton was born, an American botanist. Her efforts were a major factor in the establishment of the New York Botanical Gardens. In 1914, Henry Ford established the unheard-of sum of $5 a day minimum wage in his factories. The wage at the time was just $2.34 for a nine-hour shift. Ford not only doubled the wage, he cut an hour off the workday. And in 1992, Hans Jenny died, a Swiss agricultural chemist. He developed numerical functions to describe soil in terms of five interacting factors: climate, organisms, relief, parent material, and time. His book, Factors of Soil Formation, published in 1941, is a classic. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser with a look at the weather for corn and soybean production in South America. It is now January, and in South America, that is the equivalent of our July and the middle of the summer growing season. During the recent holiday period, no adverse weather of note occurred across Brazil or Argentina, but some trends have started, and they could become impactful in the important weeks ahead. What has developed in South America in recent weeks is a stagnant weather pattern that will persist through at least all of next week and perhaps longer. That means some areas are starting to turn very dry while others are becoming excessively wet. The northern production areas of Brazil have been rather dry with little or no rainfall in recent weeks. Rainfall deficits for just the past 2 weeks are some 3.5 to 5.5 inches. The problem is not that it has been dry for these past couple of weeks, but that significant rain is not yet on the horizon to follow this dry spell. Of course, along with the dryness will come heat, with daytime temperatures in the 90s expected through next week. Of these dry areas, Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul, Western Goiás, and Sao Paulo will likely benefit the most from occasional scattered thunderstorms. Rainfall will average between 1.5 and 1.5 inches through next week, much below the average of close to 3 inches, but not zero. Some rain offers hope to the soybean crop reaching a critical stage of development. To the east across Minas Gerais and Bahia, little to no rain is expected to fall through next week. That will increase stress on corn and soybeans. Climatologically, January is the wettest month across Brazil's northern production areas, so it would be quite unusual for dryness to last all the way to the end of the month. Meanwhile, to the south, frequent clusters of heavy thunderstorms have been producing excessive rainfall across southern Brazil and neighboring northern and central Argentina. More clusters of thunderstorms are forecast to move across this area through next week. Additional rainfall might easily reach 3 to 6 inches, adding to soggy soils in the important production areas of Rio Grande do Sul, Brazil, and Entre Rios, Santa Fe, and Cordoba, Argentina. The continuation of rainfall of this magnitude could lead to significant problems in some areas. While rainfall extremes dominate the South American weather forecast, a few places should have closer to normal rainfall. Those in a more favorable spot include Santa Catarina and Paraná in Brazil, neighboring Paraguay, and Buenos Aires and La Pampa in Argentina. That is your South American weather update for Commodity Week. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Looking at settlements for the week at the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat had a high of 603.5, a low of 561.75. March wheat settled the week at 563.75, down 17.5 from a week ago. March corn had a high of 409.5, a low of 392.75. March corn settling the week at $4.25, up 4.5 from last week. December corn settling at 421.5, up 2 from a week ago. March soybeans had a high on the week at 10.62, a low of 10.06 and a quarter. March soybeans settling in the week at 10.52 and a quarter, up 44 and three quarters from last week. And November soybeans settling in the week at 10.19 and a half, up 26 and one quarter from a week ago. And that is today's closing market report. This is Dave Dickey.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.